Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have Teresa Tomeo. But before we get into it with Teresa, we are going to hear from Doug Barry on how we can be battle ready. So stay tuned.
Hi, everyone. This is Doug Barry from Battle Ready. You know, you and I have been given by God many gifts, and we are called by God to be good stewards of those gifts. Paragraph 2288 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that life and physical health are precious gifts entrusted to us by God, and that we must take reasonable care of them. We're told by St. Paul that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We should be doing what we can to take care of ourselves, body, mind, and soul, so that we are better able to honor God. The healthier we are, the stronger we are, the better we can do the will of God in this world. The clearer and healthier your mind is, the better you can think, the better you can pray. When we're healthier, we have more energy to give to others. To make a gift of ourselves, as St. John Paul II says, is an important thing. It's a critical thing. It's a major piece of who we are and what we're called to do with our lives. To make a gift of ourselves to others. The better we take care of ourselves, spiritually and physically, the better gift we make to others. And the better we can do the will of God. One key part of this is discipline. God gives us free will. We have the freedom to choose to do the good things or the bad things for our souls and for our health. If we choose to be disciplined to take care of these gifts of God, spiritually and physically, we will find victory. Victory comes to those who are disciplined. Victory in the natural world that we live in and victory spiritually. When we take the steps that are good, that are holy, that are healthy for us, body, mind, and soul, we will find those successes that God has in store for us when we cooperate with His grace in these ways. We'll find order, perseverance, energy, courage, and all the other amazing virtues that God does want to pour into our lives and that are necessary for us to fight the good fight and remain strong. God bless you and strengthen you in this fight. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
To Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Everett. Thank you for joining me today. I am so excited to have Teresa Tomeo here again with Women Made New. Thank you for being here again, Teresa.
Anytime, girlfriend. No problem. Love it.
I love that. Okay. So recently, Teresa, the Pope came out with his message, the 56th message of the World Day of Social Communications. And it was all about listening with the ear of the heart. And that's going to be pretty foreign to some of the listeners right now, of listening with the ear of the heart. What is that? So if you could just explain what that is.
Sure. Listening with the ear of the heart is actually a line from Saint Benedict and from his Benedict's Rule. And it means to open yourself up, not just with your ears for the physical hearing, but what is God trying to tell us when we're having a conversation with him or someone else? Maybe we're praying, asking for the intercession of a saint. Maybe we're praying with someone. Maybe we're just having a regular conversation with a friend or a coworker or a family member. But listening with the heart, really paying attention to the other person. And so opening your heart up to God while you're listening to God and to those around us. So I think that's just a simple way of explaining it, but it actually is a quote from the prologue to the Rule of Law by the great Saint Benedict.
And it's so essential right now, and people really feel like they are not being heard in so many different ways. And everyone thinks that their opinion is right, and everyone wants to hold on to their ways and their thinking, and this is how it has to be. And I believe the Pope is inviting everyone right now to kind of step back and really look at the situation of what's going on, because things are evolving and changing, and he kind of wants us to be a little more open to the things that are happening around us and have more, I think, empathy. Can you kind of get into that, what you're seeing?
Yeah, and I think we should encourage people, and this is very easy to do, a Google search, or just go to, even EWTN always puts up the World Communications Day statements, but to look for online the 56th World Day of Social Communications message from Pope Francis. This is a 56th statement, as it says, and they've been coming out since Vatican II. And I love these statements because they're short, they're to the point, but they have a lot of meat. And so if you really want to kind of learn how to better live and operate as a faithful Christian in this crazy world that you just mentioned, Crystalina, then we have to be better listeners. Doesn't mean that we have to agree with everybody, but we just certainly do have to at least be open to hearing what people have to say, because people are not doing that today. As you said, we hang on to our opinions. We stay in an echo chamber. We get mad at people if they don't agree with us. I mean, we're seeing so much division right now in the church regarding this whole vaccine issue and the mandate issue, and it's tearing us apart, and the devil's having a field day. So the first thing I would do is to tell people to go and just spend some time with this document. It's very quick. It's not very long at all. I think it's barely two pages, and there's so much meat in this. And it follows up on his Communications Day statement from last year called Come and See in Order to Discover Reality, because there's been so much fake news put out there the last couple of years, especially with COVID. So, I mean, look up last year's as well, Come and See, but spend some time with listening with the ear of the heart, the Holy Father's 2022 World Day of Social Communications. And I also want to stress that the church has so much for us to learn about how to discern the media. When I was doing research on my very first book years ago, Noise, I was just blown away when I was studying the documents and studying some of these World Communications Day statements, as well as different encyclicals and other documents that have come down regarding the media. The church has so much to say about this in the Catechism, in different documents, and of course, as we mentioned, in the World Communications Day statements. So that's why I would start about with this thing of listening.
You know, and he's really honest. And like she said, it's a very easy read, but he's very honest and very straightforward, because he even talks about the infodemic.
Called kinda.
Yeah. Right now, that within the world of information, it's an increasingly struggle to be credible and transparent. And with all the misinformation that we're getting from quote unquote big tech, and we're being pulled in so many different directions, we really don't know what the truth is anymore. And it's really hard, but I think God has really ingrained it in all of our hearts to know what's right from wrong, and when we're hearing truth and then when we're not. But at the same time, people are so immersed and confused. They don't know that voice. They don't know how to listen, and they don't know what's right, what's truth. And I think a lot of frustration and anger can come from that, and then just kind of giving up.
Right. The best place to start for me is with the church. Mother Church is never going to lead us astray. And so these documents are there for a helpful tool for discernment. And there's so many of these, and you want to know the truth, and you have to keep growing closer to Jesus, because Jesus's voice is going to speak to us above all the, you know, the noise and the clamor. And if we stay rooted in scripture, if we receive, it sounds very, you know, basic, but it really is. It's not that complicated. If we keep turning to Christ, show me the truth, show me the truth, show me the truth, go to adoration, you know, go to confession when you can, at least once a month, as my spiritual director suggests for me, go to Mass as often as possible, be in the daily readings, be in scripture every single day. And then listen with your heart. What is the Lord trying to tell you? And you will be able to discern. And also take a break from some of these outlets. There's a statistic that I put in the press release that I sent out related to the World Communications Day statement. Adults now, Crystalina, are consuming 11 hours of media per day. Think about that.
Oh, I believe
24
it.
24 hours in a day, 11 hours we're spending taking in some sort of media. Isn't that crazy?
It is, but I can see how it happens. I really can. Mm-hmm.
But think about that. If we're consuming 11 hours, how are we having time for God? Now, I would love to say that all those 11 hours are being spent listening to our radio shows and watching EWTN, but that's probably not realistic, as successful as the network has been, thanks be to God. But think about that, 11 hours. So to whom or what are you listening? And the other way, too, to discern whether it's truthful, and if you're going to a reliable source, I don't want to sound like a Dr. Ray Grundy or a Dr. Greg Popcheck, because I don't have those qualifications. But, you know, to ask that question that you often see on TV shows or whatever, hear therapists ask, how does that make you feel? And that's a very important question, because if you're spending time on a news website, whether it calls itself Catholic or otherwise, and it's all negative all the time. It's sensational. There are these crazy headlines, and they're keeping you in a state of fear, telling you that there's a boogeyman behind every corner, that the church is totally a mess, that nobody's reliable. Not to say there aren't big problems in the church. I'm not dismissing any of the issues that we have and had had for some time. But if you're constantly in this state of angst and anger, and not a righteous anger, if you're constantly outraged and fearful and suspect, then that's a good indication that the source to which you're listening or following is not doing a good job of putting the truth out there. They are merely promoting what we call now in the secular media, fear porn. They're putting this out there to keep you addicted to them. So you'll click, so you'll stay on their website so they can get some more clicks, and more clicks means more advertisers, more support, and more money.
Yes. And it's also called fear baiting, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yes, absolutely. And that's happening to everybody. And you see something and they also track you and your clicks and where you're going. And a lot of people already know this, but I don't think they realize how that is affecting them psychologically, that they are purposely putting things in front of you that keeps you going down that rabbit hole.
Right.
That also keeps you wasting time. That also keeps you from the things of God and that he's asking you to do in your life, you know? And it's so easy to go down those rabbit holes. And I've done it myself. And then the time goes and it's like, oh my goodness, I stayed up later for the kids to go to bed for me to get certain things done. And then I'm in a rabbit hole. And then I'm like, I wasted so much time. And you don't feel good walking away from that trap. Mm-hmm. And I understand it. And it's just psychologically bad for you in so many ways. And it's really a distraction that a lot of people are so weak to, and how do they kind of stop? Because it almost becomes an addiction that I've seen, especially in teenagers and college students, and the curiosity that it constantly is enticing them. How can they kind of steer away from that or just start getting them, weaning themselves almost off of it?
Well, what I always say when I give my media presentations is for people, especially parents with as you said, either young children or children in high school, even off to college, is to do what I call a media reality check. I gave you that statistic, which really is very powerful. We're consuming as adults 11 hours of media per day. So break it down. If you think in your head, okay, am I that bad? Am I really consuming all of this? And in the midst of it, what am I listening to? What am I following? What am I clicking on? How much of that am I spending on social media? Now, the church has a whole body of teaching about using the media properly. Even in this World Communications Day statement, the Holy Father talks about the difference between good and bad journalism and the art of listening for journalists to a variety of voices. So it doesn't necessarily mean that every single media outlet that you're on is bad. The church doesn't say, you know, throw the media baby out with the bathwater. The church has, again, written extensively on how the media can and should be used wisely, and not just Catholic media. But really kind of do a media reality check. Okay, to whom or what am I listening? Again, how much time am I spending? What is it doing to my life? You just described, I think, a very common scenario where you get caught up in something that you're doing online or following online. And before you know it, you've missed out on things that need to get done or time you could have spent with your kids or your spouse. So start there with a media reality check. And in terms of your kids, professional organizations are saying that children under 5 years old should have no more than about 2 hours of media programming per day, and that should be supervised. So there's a very specific amount of media for young children, a little bit more when kids get older because they do have to be on computers and they're doing homework and whatnot. But 11 hours a day is way over the top. And if you're consuming that much media, then it's time to say, okay, we need to really take a look at this and back off.
You know, I love that the Pope addresses this, okay? He says, there is a kind of hearing that is not really listening, but it's opposite, he says. He says it's eavesdropping. In fact, eavesdropping and spying and exploiting others for our own interests is an ever-present temptation that nowadays seems to have become more acute in the age of social networking. And how relevant is that? Because all too often you're curious about maybe your ex or what your neighbor's doing or what you got left out on because you weren't invited that weekend, and you go and you're kind of spying and seeing what happened or what are they doing or what did I not get to? And I see that even in my children's high school of when someone's going over someone's house and then they find out on social media and then there's a problem in the social group and, you know, it goes on and on, but it's so true. And that's I've never really heard it put in such an excellent way of an explanation of what that is besides stalking someone, you know?
Right. Yeah, and I think what happens is because we can see things so instantly and people are, you know, clamoring for attention and for affirmation, everything is being put out there now on social media, even a visit to something as simple as a friend's home or a family barbecue or whatever it is. And I think we've got to get away from that. I think social media can be used as a great means of keeping in touch with people and evangelization. That's basically what I use my Facebook page for. I mean, I'm posting great articles. I'm sharing stories. I'm letting people know what's coming up on my radio show or Catholic Youth for Women or whatever I'm promoting at that particular time. But try not to get caught in the weeds of all of this stuff. And if adults are doing it and the kids are seeing you do this, following what, you know, aunt so-and-so or cousin so-and-so or what the neighbor's doing or, you know, what this group is doing or this party that I get invited to didn't get invited to. So again, if you take stock of your own actions and see how you're maybe going a little bit overboard, that's going to be a good witness for your kids as well.
Oh, absolutely. And they are watching. They are paying attention because when the time is right, they can and will use it against you. Okay. Everything parents you say and do can and will be used against you.
In not necessarily a court of law, but a house, right?
In a house. And then you are in your own court of law to a certain extent, and you are being judged, and it can be harsh. So pay attention. And the other dangerous thing about this social media and just the internet, YouTube, that you can go on there and find out basically anything that maybe parents don't want their kids to know. And I'm not even just talking like the porn and just seeing things that they don't want them to, and inappropriateness. I'm talking about finding ways to hijack your own phone to get past parental codes, to get past what they've done, and how to actually hide the things on your phone so your parents have no idea that you've even done that. And time and time again, I hear parents saying to me, somehow he got in and he hacked the system and he changed it and maneuvered it. And they make it so easy that it's like, okay, they come out with something new, but then they also come out with something else or a video to counter that where they're just going in and finding a way.
Mm-hmm. Well, at some point, and I remember I heard a similar story. I was listening to an interview on I forget which show it was. It was a secular show, but it was a conservative talk station. And it was actually an interview, and then it was followed up by a commercial for this particular product that, you know, to basically help parents, you know, control. And this one father was talking about, how he basically, you know, warned his daughter, no, you don't do this. And he put all these different parental controls on the phone, and she kept getting past it, just as you said. But he never took the phone away. And I'm listening to this and I'm going, take the phone away. If she is not, or he is not listening to you and keeps trying to, you know, go around and skirt the rules and go against, you know, what you're trying to do in terms of protecting them, because this is for their own good, their own safety, then take it away. And because we are also addicted to our phones and to, you know, our technology, sometimes that doesn't even cross the mind of a parent or a guardian, because it seems so foreign for someone not to actually have a phone, even if they're a child. But I'm sorry, in this day and age, I remember when I started doing media research over 20 years ago, I had experts telling me that if you allow your child to have unmonitored access on the internet, you might as well take that same child. And this, again, Kristalina, was 20 years ago, plus 20 years ago, right? When I came out of the secular media and I started my company and started to decide I was going to address media issues, media awareness and activism issues. And so I'm doing this research and whatnot. And this woman says, if you are doing that, and this is before every kid had a cell phone or the iPhone or their own iPad, this is when kids would have like a TV, an actual TV in their room or a computer in their room, which now everything is on the phone. But this person, this expert, said, if you allow your kids unmonitored access on the internet, it's like dropping them off at Times Square at 2 o'clock in the morning alone.
Wow.
That was the analogy. And I think that's a perfect analogy.
Yeah, it's true.
And now what's happening? Everything is on the phone, television, any type of street. You can get every single thing on your phone. You don't need that laptop in your room. Uh-uh. You don't need the TV in the room. So it's really crucial for us, again, to take stock.
Yes. And parents, it's almost like this sacred thing that you just allow them to have because they need it to function and live. And that's that. How could you take it away from them? You know, it's really unbelievable the fear parents have and the repercussions that they might get from their children. And Dr. Ray,
you know,
really
they need
talked
they need
about
a case
it.
Of they need my mom, Rosie Posey, passed away 2 years ago, to come in. I'm your mother. And because I said so. And I'll be your mother till the day I die, and then I'm going to come back and haunt you.
I love it. It's so
true. She
didn't
take any nonsense. And, you know, one time, it's a funny story, but this is how parents need to be real with their kids. And the kids will figure out, and you know this as a mom, how far they can go. Well, I remember one of my friends when I was in high school, I think it was a freshman in high school, and she said, well, when I don't get what I want, I just tell my mother that I'm going to call the police on her and she's going to get in trouble. And I'm like, Eureka, what a great idea. So I go home and I'm arguing with my mother about something. I don't know. I wanted to go somewhere to the mall or something. And it was late. She said, no, you can't go. I said, well, I'm going to call the police and say you're abusing me. So this was back in the 70s, and we had those really long phone cords, right? And the phones are on the wall. And so she goes over to the phone. She grabs the phone, and she walks over, stretches a cord out. She hands me the phone. And she goes back. She goes, okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to dial, and you can talk to the police. But just remember, you're going to be dead by the time they get here. And when they horn me in front of the judge, I'm going to say, Your Honor, it was justifiable homicide. So go ahead, talk to the cops. See how that works for you. But what she was doing was she was establishing, I am not afraid of you.
Yeah.
I am your mother. I have a responsibility. So you want to go ahead and try to pull a stunt like that? This is what's going to happen. And I really don't think, okay, so maybe my mom might have been a little bit too Jersey for some people, too Italian for some people, but I got the message. I don't think enough parents are taking a loving but strong stand with their kids, because at the end of the day, if they know who's boss, they will listen.
You know, I also don't think they're explaining things and sitting down, talking with their kids eye to eye and saying, look, these are the rules. These are the boundaries. These are the non-negotiables. And if you cross them, these are the consequences. But this is why I'm implementing this for you. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And a lot of kids now are not getting the why from their parents and the ABC explanation. And the teens are feeling like they're just being caged up. And why can't I be like everyone else? Because what, you're just going to put these restrictions on me and just wait till I'm 18 and I'm out of here and I'm going to see everything. And but if they understand the why and you really talk them through things, it makes more sense. And I have an excellent example of my girlfriend really took on the girls in the family and the husband took on the boys, right? And she, ever since she was 9, she just has been talking and talking and talking and walking through and really just being matter of fact, but very honest and open about things in a good, godly way, though. Right.
Right.
And the daughter's in her teens and she's very well formed and she knows and she's not afraid to come and talk to her mom. I see the communication going back and forth like it should be. But she knows, and she knows the parameters, and she steps outside of that. It's done. It's to where the dad took the boys, and there was a lot of insecurity there and really didn't have a lot of conversations, didn't really explain, but the wife thought that was happening. And now the boy's a teenager, and they have massive problems with him of where he feels like a caged animal. Why can't he have this? Why can't he do this? Why, I don't understand this. And he's going behind their back, finding things out about sexuality, and all the while – the mom's thinking, oh, the husband's got this. He's got this, right? Because he's a well-rounded, good, holy man of God. But at the same time, there's so many insecurities that keep parents from really embracing what they need to do to protect their children and to let them know and just talk in an ABC format to them and start that communication bridge at a young age. Because if you start to try to do that when they're older, they lost that sense of trust and reliability in you. Right. So
and
it's
I think
harder.
The trust factor is huge, right? Yes. Trust factor is huge, not only in families, but getting back to the Pope's message, trust factor is huge out there in the culture because the media has let us down so much over and over and over again. The culture, the misinformation, the fake news. And this is why this whole idea of listening to one another is so important, whether it's in the family, whether it's in a general conversation, you know, parents listening to their kids, you know, let them express themselves in a respectful way, of course, as to why they think they should be able to do this, that or the other thing. My mom did that, but then she, you know, she brought down the gauntlet and, in a very unique way, as an Italian Jersey mother
oh,
could do.
I love her already.
You know, it's so important. And it really isn't that complicated. It can be somewhat intimidating, though, especially if you're, you know, raising a stubborn kid as I was. And I see this now with my grandnieces, Francesca and Liliana. They're only 5 and they're already testing their parents. We were over there the other night and the parents are getting them ready for bed. It was a school night and I was helping them get dressed. I was drying their hair and, you know, getting them all ready for bed and helping their mom and my nephew. And they said no to watching a movie, both parents. And so then they come to us, right? To Auntie T and Uncle Dami, because we'll say yes. Well, Auntie T, we want to watch this movie. Can you put it on for us? And I said, well, what did your mother and father say? They said no. I said, well, then that's your answer. And of course, they try to throw a hissy fit for about 2 minutes, then they're fine, you know. But yeah, kids are smart. They're going to go around. They are listening, and they are listening to how you're responding as well.
Absolutely. And I really appreciated in the press release that you did put out about all of this, that you added the Society of Professional Journalists and their code of ethics, because a lot of people don't even know about that and don't seem to be following it these days. And for those of you that aren't familiar with it, there are four main factors that they follow. And the first one is to seek truth and report it. Second is to minimize the harm. Third is to act independently. And fourth is to be accountable and transparent. And in all four of those things, nothing's happening. I mean, if you look at it, it's nothing. Nobody's following anything. It's all gray. It's all being questioned. It's not
commentary. Right?
Oh my gosh. Everyone's own personal opinions are being regurgitated out into the world. And it's just not the information as it should be given to us in a truthful way. And it's very frustrating and it's very difficult. And you're hearing two different things, double different stations. And it's just like, what's what? What happened there, Teresa? How did all of that get so lost?
I think a lot of things happened. I think money is a big factor. What a lot of people don't realize is that there's two agendas. There's definitely political agendas, you know, on both sides of the aisle in the secular press, but there's also the agenda of money. And so, you know, money is, they have a business model, they're businesses. And so what's going to get the most attention? That's why we see a lot of sensationalism. That's why we see a lot of what we call fear porn, fear baiting, or what I used to say when we used to hear the phrase we used to use when I was in the secular press was, if it bleeds, it leads. We would have consultants coming in to the newsroom on a regular basis and telling us, you have to have these types of stories in the first bag or the first 15 minutes of the TV newscast, because this is what is going to make people watch. If they're afraid, they're going to stay tuned to make sure of the NIMBY factor, you know, not in my backyard. And gradually, when money started to take over, then they realized that they could profit from TV news, because when it first really started to take hold, TV news in like the 60s and the 70s, the rules were different with the FCC, and they changed some things and they made ownership handled differently. And so they were able to really create it as a money-making venture. And that's when things started to change for the worse. The other thing that happened was when we started to get all these different types of media, everybody started to try to gravitate more listeners to, or viewers or readers to their sites. And so they had to become increasingly sensational. And they would try to, of course, feed their audience. They'd do their demographics and do their research. Okay, to whom are we, you know, speaking? Or in the cases that we see, they're pandering. And so this is what we're seeing now. But again, so much has been lost. And it just breaks my heart, because there are things that I had to follow and I had to do. And if I see some of the things that reporters do today, I would have been fired on the spot. You know, seek truth and report it. Take responsibility for the accuracy of your work. How many times, just look at like the cases in the last few years, Kyle Rittenhouse, Nicholas Sandman, and others, or the situation with the Russia scandal. When that story broke, Russia scandal, not to get into politics, but just using that particular story, much of the media already knew that the so-called dossier that they were using was completely fake. Well, that's all been verified now that it's fake. But there's information that they knew at the time, but they went ahead because they had an agenda, and because it was very salacious and all this supposedly awful information about particular politicians that they disliked, they were going to run that baby into the ground. It fit their agenda, and it got them more clicks and a lot more viewers. So they didn't take responsibility for the accuracy. They didn't care about the accuracy, and they never bothered to correct it after the fact. They barely reported on the fact that this thing was a hoax, the whole Russia investigation. And then when you look at, for example, this whole idea of minimizing harm, you can really hurt a person's reputation. Look at Nicholas Sandman. He had to go and sue all these different networks, and thank God he's getting a settlement. But here's a young man minding his own business, waiting for a bus after the March for Life, because he was white, because he was at a very conservative event, the pro-life march, and because he was wearing a hat that was given to him for free as he was walking by, you know, a group of people promoting Donald Trump or whatever, and he put the hat on. They went after him, and the actual opposite of what the media originally claimed was actually the truth. For they were saying that he was harassing, if you recall, this Native American activist. It was just the opposite when the full video was released. And of course, even in the Kyle Rittenhouse case, they had the video of him defending himself and him being attacked. And they were claiming that he was actually shooting and killing minorities. And some stations are still saying that.
Yes.
And everyone involved in that case is white and was white in terms of the victims that actually, when he was defending himself, he did shoot several people, as we know. But he was doing it out of self-defense. He maintained that. And they had videos showing that. And he was exonerated, right? That didn't matter. He's still being attacked and still being called a racist. And even the college that he chose doesn't want any part of him, or students are saying, we don't want you here because you're a racist.
Wow.
So you talk about minimizing harm. I mean, they didn't even consider the harm that they would do to these two young men. And those are just two cases. And they don't come back and they don't correct themselves. They allow these things to hang there for particular agendas and sensationalism. It's terrible what's happening. And to act independently, this is another point. Media don't act independently. It's really interesting, and I can see this because I've been on the air and in news since dirt, since prehistoric times. But I have 40 years experience now in the media, so I can pick this stuff up very, very quickly. I can tell that they're all, and I don't know exactly, I don't know if there's actually a meeting. I wouldn't go that far and say there's actually a meeting between the networks, but somebody is giving them talking points somehow, some way. Messages are getting to, these particular leftist outfits because they're using the same phrase.
Yes, they're all regurgitating the same points
over and over and over again.
Yes, absolutely. And we are going to get more into that when we come back, but we are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert. Thank you for coming back and joining us. Today, I am here talking with Teresa Tomeo, and we are discussing the message of His Holiness Pope Francis for the 56th World Day of Social Communication. And it is titled this year, Listening with the Ear of the Heart. And Teresa and I, before we left on break, were discussing the Society of Professional Journalism and kind of the four rules, basic just things that they want journalists to follow that is not happening. And we see it time and time again, Teresa, of journalists, especially on the left side, regurgitating a lot of nonsense, but they all seem to be on the same page. They all seem to be unified. They're a unit and they're all just kind of spewing their lies.
Right.
All in sync. It's amazing. And it's so sad. And there really is such a breakdown of journalism and being able to trust in that. And I love that EWTN is a solid source that we can go to with our faith. And it's almost a safe platform that you know you're going to get the truth. But a lot of people don't know about EWTN and they're kind of lost, and it's so sad and all of that. But Teresa was explaining the breakdown of what's been happening in society with journalism.
Yeah, and I think too, going back to the communication state statement, listening with the heart, and when you start listening, and for example, what we just spoke of in terms of the same messages and agendas being regurgitated over and over again by different anchors and different outlets, if you really listen for that and keep an open heart and an open mind, you're going to be able to recognize it. I mean, I recognize it because of my training, that's for the most part, but also because I really ask God to show me what I need to know about these various outlets and to whom I should be listening. But listening with the heart, when you're listening with the mind of Christ, when you're opening yourself up, that God is going to speak to you, and He's going to, that the Holy Spirit is going to nudge you and say, that's not reality. That's not the way it really is. So that's why this message of listening and listening with the heart from St. Benedict, which is where the title comes from, is so, so important.
Now, within the Pope's document, he also was talking about the synod that had started. And the synod really right now within the church is all about being open to listen and listen to one another and communication. It seems like a lot of it is about that. Can you kind of explain, because I think a lot of people are confused still as to what that is?
Right. Well, he's talking about this toward the end of the document.
Yes.
And let me just read this paragraph. It says, a synodal process has just been launched. Let us pray that it will be a great opportunity to listen to one another. Communion, in fact, is not the result of strategies and programs, but is mutual built-in listening between brothers and sisters. As an acquired, unity does not require uniformity, monotony, but the plurality and a variety of voices. At the same time, each voice in the choir sings while listening to the other voices and in relationship to the harmony of the whole. The harmony is conceived by the composer, but its relation depends on the symphony of each and every voice. So what they're doing with this process of the synod is coming together and talking to each other, and we're doing it at the local level in our parishes, in our communities, and then in our diocese and archdiocese, and it goes all the way up to the top. For example, what we've done in the Archdiocese of Detroit, we started this many years ago, we put out a massive survey and asked parishioners all over the archdiocese to respond and tell us what their needs are. And what came back was the fact that they wanted more of an involved parish. And so what they looked at forming was what we call the family of parishes. So what they're doing is they're, and automatically there was a lot of criticism because it sounded like they were just closing parishes, but they're not. What they're doing is they're looking at the needs of each parish. Some of the parishes, many of the parishes did not have enough staff to go around, did not have enough priests anymore, or, you know, couldn't do proper RCIA or were very shorthanded in, for example, pre-Cana and marriage prep. And so they decided in their own process to come together and to form this parish or this family of parishes. And also that resulted in Archbishop Vigneron giving us Unleash the Gospel, which is a document that we continue to unpack through that process. So the process, this is how I interpret it. And I'm not saying that it couldn't be improved or might need some tweaks or whatever. I'm not, you know, a theologian in this, but the process is all about listening to one another at different levels within the church.
Now, it seems like as the Pope's trying to bring everyone together and listen, it seems like there's so much more division in the church mm-hmm. right now than ever, right? In a time we're supposed to try to come together and kind of work out everyone's differences and see where that common ground is. But some people, and I hear, and there's a lot of different point of views on what this is and what's happening. And the Pope does try to clarify it, but it seems also that there are people from the outside coming in trying to kind of change the way things are being done or have been done.
Well, I do wish, and let me be honest, as a Catholic journalist and as someone, you know, who's in journalism and has to cover these stories every single day on my show, but as I covered it also as a secular journalist, I do wish the Vatican Press Office and Joan Lewis and I talk about this almost every week on my show, if they would be more clear and if they would clarify some things. The Pope oftentimes will say something and it will get either mistranslated or it'll sound confusing. We'll say, oh, I don't think that's right. Or what does he really mean by that? And they don't come back and they don't explain. And so it isn't, you're not able to apply it because you don't really know what he meant. So I think that's really important. I think we need more clarification on that. The other thing is there is a division right now, and it continues. And I think this is really sad because this is a very personal and private matter. There's a real division regarding the vaccine still. And I think most of us would agree on what the church teaches regarding mandates. The church is against mandates, but just because someone is against a mandate doesn't mean they're anti-vaccination, whether it be the COVID vaccine or other vaccines. We're just, you know, against the mandates. But regardless of how one feels, this is a prudential matter. This is something about which faithful Catholics can disagree regarding whether one should or shouldn't take a vaccine. The mandates are a different thing. The church is saying no one should ever be forced to go against their conscience. So, you know, there's a lot of, I think, hurt and anger because I do think, with all due respect to the Holy See and to our Holy Father, that what they're trying to communicate for the common good could be communicated more clearly. And I think that would help immensely in terms of avoiding division. And that's just my personal opinion as a Catholic journalist.
No, I agree completely. And the confusion is it causes aggression, right? Because you're not sure what's what and everyone kind of interprets it the way that they want. And it's just everyone's talking past each other and not to each other, you know? And when you're not feeling heard, you definitely get angry, you know? And I think that's happening a lot right now. And mandates are mandates, but they're not laws. They're very different, two separate things. And I think people are also getting that very confused right now and they don't understand the difference. But again, once the media gets involved, they start regurgitating things and they do make it sound like it's a law when it is not.
Yeah, and also I think, too, why are we having all these mandates for something called COVID when we don't do this for the flu or other infections that have been out there? It's interesting, and I don't know if you noticed in the last week or two, where some of these governors, even on the left, are now saying, oh, we have to move past COVID. We have to learn to live with this. Well, why are they saying that? Well, I kind of think the reporter in me says it's 2022 and what's happening later this year, midterm elections. And I think the left is very concerned because people are waking up and realizing just how much some particular groups are taking this situation with COVID. Not to say this isn't serious, of course, but using it as a means of control. And that's just not right. And that goes against who we are as a people of God, especially against our conscience, being forced to do something against our will and against our conscience in terms of something that we've decided is not maybe right or maybe is right for us. But there's a lot of confusion out there, and that causes more angst and more fear. That's why, getting back to the earlier part of our conversation, why if we do a media assessment or a media reality check and we back away from some of these sources, I think we'll be a lot more peaceful. I mean, I'm a news junkie. I mean, I grew up in the news business. that's my blood. That's what I do. I have to back away from it because I can get very frustrated. Mm-hmm. I remember a couple of weeks ago when Nancy Pelosi announced her reelection. I mean, it took everything not to throw three things at the TV because she was saying she was doing it for the children. And all I could think about was the children. She is one of the most staunch abortion proponents, and yet she claims to be a good Catholic. And she kept talking about the children, the children, the children, not to mention many of the problems that she's enduring, including the problems of children at the border who are being abused and are being kidnapped by sex traffickers when they come. It's just so I'm looking at this and it was disturbing my peace. And the only thing I could do is turn it off and stay away from it for a while and pray for her. Continue to pray for her and others, for them to hopefully, God willing, as Archbishop Corleone has done, praying for a change of heart on these core issues. So it can affect our peace if we're constantly tuned into all of these different things.
You are so knowledgeable with all the different news sources out there, Teresa. Can you give our audience really good, reliable news sources? And we all know EWTN, absolutely. But is there anywhere else that they can go besides EWTN that they can get the solid news without kind of any gray, quote unquote, truth being put out there?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm going to toot our own horn, and I really rely every single day. I'll tell you what I do. I go to CatholicNewsAgency.com. I go to EWTN News Nightly. I go to The Register. I go to Catholic World Report. I look at what has been covered on some of our big news shows, such as Pro-Life Weekly or In Depth. And I'm not just saying this because I'm very proud of what we do. But here's the thing. These are reliable people. I know these people. Many of them have background in the secular media. I've worked with them. And when we're Catholic, we are doing more to uphold those four, points in the code of ethics as Society of Professional Journalists because of who we are. We feel an obligation to the truth because we're Catholic Christians. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I know I can trust, for example, a report on the Register, because they do have both sides of the story. Of course, they're always defending and giving church teaching, but they also explain what the person on the other side of the story has said so we can have a full picture. I don't want to throw out any names of I do like our Sunday Visitor as well. I think they do a really good job. I don't want to throw out any other names of some of the networks. There are a few stations that I think do an okay job, but there's just a lot of pandering to, certain political agendas, I think.
Yes.
So I don't want to, throw any names out there. I have some of my particular favorites or particular favorite writers that I follow. I do think the New York Post does a decent job. I think they're more balanced, and that if you want to do a secular outlet, I think they do a better job, even though they're sometimes somewhat sensational in terms of getting the stories out there that aren't covered by the big mainstream press, just as the CBSs, the NBCs, the ABCs, the CNNs. I do think, for example, they've been way ahead in the Hunter Biden story. They've been ahead on many other stories that aren't getting covered on the whole Russiagate thing. So I think they do a decent job. But I would say if you want to look at their website once in a while to see what they're covering in terms of political stories, it might be helpful to get the other side of the story. But some of the other outlets are very, very agenda driven as well. And so you really have to kind of take everything with a grain of salt.
And be very, very careful what you're watching. And Teresa, I don't think a lot of our listeners maybe don't realize a lot of your news sources that you were saying are under the umbrella of EWTN as well. They just think of EWTN, right. You know. So can you just name those off again right. for me, for those that maybe are writing sure. down and want to go there?
Yeah, and actually, if you go to my website, teresatomeo.com, I do have a whole resources list on my website for outlets that I go to. So I mentioned National Catholic Register. That's ncregister.com. I mentioned Catholic News Agency. That's catholicnewsagency.com. EWTN News Nightly. And I think you can get to it through the main page of EWTN.com. Our Sunday Visitor, which is a separate publication, does a very good job. Catholic World Report. I think it's catholicworldreport.com, which is published by Ignatius Press. They do a terrific job as well. And so we feel, you know, from the sense of who we are as Catholics, that we have to be fair, we have to be balanced, and we have to make sure that we're upholding church teaching, which is the truth.
Yes.
And so again, this is why I trust these sources, because their intention right off the bat is to inform, to uplift, and to educate, and not to, it's not to make money. I mean, nobody's getting rich in Catholic media, right?
Yes.
Not that we're not paying people, we are, but it's just that it's a different, we totally subsist on basically people supporting us. So it's a whole different pay scale, and it's a passion, and it's a love, it's a mission. It's not, you know, just it's a vocation. It's not just a job. So those are really good sources. And the reporters are excellent. I just worked with the team of EWTN News Nightly and Pro-Life Weekly when I was covering the March for Life. And they're terrific. And they did a great job. And they were so wonderful to work with. And I'm like the old lady of the bunch when I go down there. But they're all good, solid reporters and journalists.
Oh, absolutely. And EWTN is definitely holding and staying true to the essence of what Mother Angelica wanted, and basically mm-hmm. to defend Jesus and to defend what's true and good and pure and holy. And I mean, it's beautiful. And I've been watching a lot of her old shows, and man, she defended Jesus to the end. And it was just beautiful to see that passion and that love for him, and to be so courageous, you know, and just know without a shadow of a doubt what was right. And she just stood for that. And it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And yeah. You definitely can rely on the news sources with EWTN. And also to encourage everyone to download their app, because you can just go yes. right there and then get the latest and greatest of whatever it is that's going on right there on your phone as well. Along yeah, with
and
all
they
the
don't
other
just
news
cover, I mean, they cover Catholic news, obviously. But what I love is, and Tracy Sabol, I just love her. She's got a news background, and she was an anchor, a secular anchor. And so, you know, we bonded right away because of our past experience. And Holly Shannon, executive producer of In Depth, she's another one. We were talking the other day on the phone, and I said, how long have you been in the business? And she said, 40 years. I said, me too. We graduated from college the same year, and she's an experienced news director and producer. But they're covering stories that are out there in the world. They're just covering from a Catholic perspective and letting us know what's going on and what that means to us as Catholics. So they're covering Congress. They're covering the White House. They're covering different laws that are taking place, covering different issues, but they're covering it again with, you know, looking at everything, as we say at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio, through the lenses of Scripture and the teachings of the Catholic Church. So what does this mean to us in our lives as Catholics? So we're really blessed that we have so many of these resources.
Oh, absolutely. And to really watch the news, and this news that you're speaking of, it has a moral compass.
Yes,
you know,
thank you.
Able to listen to the news without having to worry, okay, where do I need my filter right now? You know, it's
just
true.
And they're not screaming at each other. That's the other thing. Just stop yelling at each other. Don't yell at me. I just want to have my cup of tea and watch the
news. I know,
news.
Just want to be informed. And information right now is power. Unfortunately, right. It is, to really know which direction to go, how to protect your family, what's happening next, what is going to be coming down the pike. It really is power right now in, again, a world of misinformation. Right. And that also goes back down to listening with the ear of the heart, and also listening to that voice. And you have an excellent resource, Teresa. I absolutely love it. And it's that Listening for God book that you came out with. And for those of you that are really kind of foreign to listening with the ear of the heart, or listening to that small, still voice, this is an excellent resource to learn how to do that, or for family members, even your children, just to read out of different parts of it to them. It really can help them understand. And the more we even inform our children in an ABC way of letting them know what's happening, it'll be easier with them as well. But it really is a protection that God does protect us, and he guides us, but we have to learn to listen. Can you kind of just touch on that and your amazing book you have out there?
Well, you know, I think that the Pope actually got a copy of the book and read it and wrote the World Communications Day.
Sounds like it. No.
Not. I was joking around about that the other day. I love this book, though. It's called Listening for God and Discovering the Incredible Ways God Speaks to Us. And I talk about listening with the ear of the heart in that book in terms of the title, for example, the World Communications Day Statement. It came out about a year ago, and I just love it. It's my latest book. I've been so busy, you know, following up and doing other things. I have one more book that I'm supposed to be writing for the wonderful people at Sophia Press, but I'm still trying to figure out which book that's supposed to be. But anyway, this particular book is great because I talk about the way God has spoken to me over the years and how he breaks through and uses everything at his disposal. And if we are aware and if we are listening with the heart, then we will recognize his voice. For example, you driving down the street, a person driving down the street and thinking about something and praying about something and then turning and seeing a marquee in front of a church that reflects that message that was on your heart, for example, maybe with a scripture verse that applies or a saying that applies, that is God speaking to you. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening, you'll recognize that voice. Or if you're thinking about someone and you're praying about someone, that person picks up the phone and calls you. Or, for example, my friend Vanessa, who works with me at Ave Maria Radio, she was having a particular rough day. And she was being attacked on social media over the pro-life issue. And she was just very despondent because these were people with whom we both worked in the secular media at one point. And they were very angry and they were really attacking. And she felt very debilitated. And this particular attack happened in her home office. And she was on the computer doing some work. And she got into it with, you know, some former colleagues of hers, trying to be respectful and explaining her teaching. But it was just very ugly. And I remember she called me up crying. She says, "Why did they have to be so mean?" Well, the next day she went into her office, as she explains in the book, and she saw a huge cross. There was an image of a cross that was coming through the window right over her desk, actually going over her computer. And it was the way the sun was shining in the room and the shadow was being formed or something. And she says in the book, she only saw that cross that day. And it was in her office over her desk where everything had happened. And obviously she was defending the faith. So that is another sign. Never saw that cross again with any of the shadow formations in her office. She hadn't seen it before, hadn't seen it since. So what the book does is it outlines through these testimonies, including my own, as I mentioned, different experiences of the way God speaks to us to help others recognize how to, as the Pope says in this latest World Communications Day statement, listen with the heart. And Sophia did such a beautiful job in putting this book together. The cover is gorgeous. And it's very easy to get. You can get it on the EWTN catalog website. You can go to my page, teresatomeo.com. But again, as we go into Lent, I think it's a really good book because it has questions at the end of each chapter written by the authors, the contributors. And then they also have a quote from a saint and they also have points to ponder. So you can use it as your own personal study during Lent, or you can use it, for example, as maybe even a group study. So listening for God, discovering the incredible ways God speaks to us.
Excellent. And it really has been so helpful. And I would really encourage you out there to get it. Teresa, thank you so much for being here today with us. As usual, you always bring so much to the table and so informative and letting us know where things are at. And I really appreciate you and all of the work that you do. It's just fantastic. And I will post your website on my Twitter now and my social media so that people can go and get that list and know where to find your book and all of that good stuff. But thank you so much for everything you do, and God bless you.
God bless you and Jason. And I'll tell you what, I can't wait till your book comes out. We're going to promote the heck out of that baby.
I know. I'm so excited. To be continued. So
yes, to be continued. Stay tuned for the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say.
That's right. Thank you, Teresa. God bless.
God bless.
I want to thank my guest, Teresa Tomeo, for being here today. And I want you all to remember that today is Saturday and that you can go to confession in most churches this afternoon. And there is nothing more important than being right with God. Have a wonderful Saturday, everyone. And I look forward to next weekend. God bless.